B-Pod Studios.
A couple of weeks ago, you came out and you said, everybody thinks we suck. So we got to hold some people accountable. I want to know who you were talking about, who you were referring to. Was it everybody? Was it the media? Was it anybody specific? Look at that look.
For the most part, I ignore the noise, but every once in a while, something trickles in. And, you know, we had plenty of it. You know as well as I do, I'm sure there'll be a lot of clips. But, you know, it's what it is. You know, I think it just really matters what we think. And that's, I think, the important lesson at all. Hopefully everyone can take from it. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It matters what you think. And if you think you can get the job done, you have the confidence to do it, that's all that matters.
Hello again from Radio Row. It's Zolak and Bertrand on this Tuesday. What's the matter, Zell?
It's your trash. Who's trash? Walk's got like eight.
Isn't that funny? Like the guy who throws more trash around than anyone.
Attaboy.
Is critical of others for the trash.
Well, I didn't want to spill it. I didn't want
the guy who left
it.
The apple core wrapped in a piece of paper that Hardy picked up yesterday is demanding to know whose trash is left here.
You got it taken care of though, didn't you?
Welcome into the show, Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe is with us right out of the gate. Dan, how are you?
Good. How are you guys? You
enjoying your week here so far?
Loving it. Landers ready for us.
Did you land in that shirt?
What are you, the clothing police?
I keep track.
Pretty sure Fred was wearing that shirt yesterday. For those who are keeping track.
It makes my eyes pop, so.
I'm kidding.
Yeah. It happens.
It's going to happen, buddy.
It does. Now that you mention it, I can't believe Dan thinks about those things. Brings out the blue in his eyes.
Thank you.
All right, Dan. So this week, you know, you just heard Tom Brady there talking last night and referencing the everybody thinks we suck. Does this team have a storyline? Is there a dominant storyline going into this game? Because we've had those over the years. We've had sort of backdrops and themes and narratives that have dominated the week. And this week feels like there's a lot more talk about the game itself than usual.
Yeah, it's the one theme I'm noticing that I'm picking up is it's like there's only one team here. That's how it feels to me. And I know we're of New England, but I just, you know, the way the fans are being represented, that's going to be straight through. Everybody knows that.
Right.
And just the narrative around the Patriots is so strong and so national. I just feel like the Rams, this is like the Globetrotters are in town and you know, who are they playing? It's just, it doesn't really seem to matter. Now, that doesn't mean the Rams don't win the game or aren't great and all that stuff, but I just feel like the attention's all being showered on the Patriots. I liked that last night. That was Willie. Willie asked him that, right?
Yes, he did. Yeah.
And, you know, trying to name names was good, you know? I mean, I was hoping some of us would be listed, but no, Tom's too.
Well, what have you ever done?
He's too classy. Nothing.
Yeah,
nothing.
I mean, I don't think you would have warranted being on that.
No,
list.
just good investigative journalism. You know how that goes, Beetle. You know, just the usual.
Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Last night, it felt like the Rams were starting to backtrack.
Oh yeah.
On the crap they've said. What it felt like. They're trying to kill what they've said because they know they screwed up in this.
Well, I'm sure they heard about it. You know, by the time they got over there, they were told, hey, no more of that. And, you know, a little good backpedaling done by the people who backpedal for a living. So I thought that was good. It was good to get it out there, but it's not going to have legs. It's not going to sustain. It's not going to be like, was it Freddie Mitchell who was the guy?
Yeah, I mean, there was an uncomfortable moment last night, I thought, for McVay, where he kind of had his hands in his pockets and he was rocking. And he was standing next to Bill. And Bill's in a suit, and he's in a tracksuit next to him, and he looks like he's half his age. He looks like he's his kid. And they asked him the question about how cool was that 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 coach texted you and you put it out there, what he said to you, how explosive, how much fun it is to watch your offense. It seems like McVay regretted that because it probably got back to him, the Bills, like, hey, I text you, like, that's between you and me. Let's keep it that way. It seems like he regretted putting that out there.
He did that
and
a couple times,
though. But yeah. I know Bill likes him a lot. Bill's not pissed at him. But Bill's probably like, you know, this happened with Garoppolo last year. Like, Jesus H, you know what?
Right.
Can we just keep, you know, I text you or I text Mark. It shouldn't be out there in public.
No, I never, you know, Bill texts me all the time. I never talk about it.
Right.
You know, so it's just like.
Right. So,
you know,
that's,
just,
I mean,
it's
I think McVay's still learning, and that's the process. And he looked like a scoring little kid up there next to Bill.
He did that a couple times, too, though. That was, you know, all afternoon and evening.
Like, I love
when he got asked about it.
I probably shouldn't have said that, you know, and I'm excited. I think the excitement, in fact, he needs a holdback coach. I don't like that. I get juiced up, and you want to tell people stuff, but he's still in the learning process, yeah, as his team is.
He kept saying more has been made of that than, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah, that's like they're in retractional mode.
Sure. And not surprising that Bill would do that, because we all know Bill has great reverence for history of the NFL.
Oh, no. We did the sit-down last night. He talked about this guy's a family guy. He's a football family. He's a lifer. He's a grinder. And he goes, I like that about him.
Yeah.
So there's an appreciation Bill has for what Sean McVay does.
Does Sean McVay in any way remind you of Theo Epstein at all? I mean, again, it was a different job, but he's the GM versus the actual head coach in this case. But
sort of.
You know, a guy, you know, on the national stage, people are like, whoa, this guy's the head coach and he's 33? I mean, Theo, it was like that with Theo, and I think he was 30 when they finally won it in 04. And, you know, it's kind of the next thing. And he's going to get a lot of respect. And I know everybody's trying to hire someone like that and all that stuff's going on. But I think Zoe's right with what he said about, you know, he was a little chagrined that big a deal was being made out of the text.
Yeah, he definitely, I wonder, I know that these guys hear everything and they sort of follow along. I wonder if he knew or was aware between Monday morning when that story dropped yesterday and last night that had sort of come out.
Yeah.
If he had told Peter King that. I wonder if that on the stage last night when they're talking about that and Sean McVay.
You know what? He could be pissed.
Sean McVay seems sort of sheepish on it. Like, I did.
It looks bad, yes. Peter. I don't know why I put that in. You know, now I got to deal with it. He didn't want to deal with that last night.
It's just not. It isn't a great look for McVay. You said that right out of the gate yesterday. So I was like, why are you telling him this? Why are you talking about this? Why are you talking about that back and forth? So
it's like he's an excited little kid, and he should be. I mean, he's done a lot there in 2 years. He really has. He and Snead have done a lot there in 2 years.
How are you feeling about the game, Dan?
I can't help but think the Patriots are going to win.
Oh, of course.
I know. We're all.
What the hell's changed in 4 weeks with these people and everybody? We had Charlie Weiss on yesterday.
Right.
He thinks they're going to blow doors.
Really?
Like, he said, I think they're going to beat them soundly.
I mean, something happened after the Pittsburgh game. It's just it's a different team. And, you know, the Bills wasn't a very impressive win. We all know that. You know, Tom likes to talk about four good games in a row.
They ran the ball for 280 yards.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean.
Then the Jets are the Jets.
You know what it's like?
I had no stock in it. But
yeah.
What I saw in the first half against the Chargers, first half against the Chiefs, that's enough for me. I just, you know, 2 weeks to prepare, young quarterback. I don't know. I've seen this too many times. But we got to remember, all of their Super Bowls, 8 points or less, one possession games.
Yeah.
Eight times in a row.
Yeah.
Amazing. So the idea that it's going to be lopsided is hard to buy into. But and it's going to feel like a home game. I mean, has anyone seen a Ram fan yet? You know,
no, I haven't.
It's unbelievable.
There were a few in there last night, but in terms of just the town, I mean, today's only Tuesday.
Zero
it's early
presence.
In the week.
Ticket Demand website say it's an average of 4-1. Yeah. It's a ratio.
Yeah, it's going to feel like a home game.
Going to be a home game.
It felt like the Eagle game.
Yep.
Not only the Eagle game from last. Remember the Eagle game in Jacksonville?
Yes.
That was a 4-5-1 ratio. So it's going to feel like that.
Remember the Charger game in San Diego in 2015, whatever.
Yeah,
yeah,
oh, same.
You know. Yeah, this is going to be that.
Yeah, I mean, so that's. I mean, that helps. It certainly helps.
Doesn't mean you're going to do it. You still got to go play.
You got to do something with it, you know. And I think in terms of making it feel like a home game, the week, the way they handle the week certainly helps. I think they've got a massive advantage over the Rams in this regard. And we talked to some of the Rams last night, and we'll be having that for you coming up. We actually recorded a lot of. Material and interviews last night. We'll have that coming up later in the show today. I get the sense from them just sort of being there last night, they're just really along for the ride. They're just sort of enjoying it from watching, you know, the stuff at the podiums. Well, and
that's epidemic. First-time callers, you know, they get to the Super Bowl and they're so happy to be here. And you got a team that's been here eight times. And you know, the numbers, even the eight-time thing doesn't count for most of the roster. But,
yeah,
like 37 guys have played in the Super Bowl, and 26 of them have rings, versus four guys have played in the Super Bowl on the other team. It's just, I mean, it's really lopsided in terms of all those ancillary aspects of it going in. But, hey, Rams are here for a reason. They're good. They could get off to a good start. It's like the reverse of 2002. I mean, remember, it was supposed to be 14-point dogs, and the Patriots were ahead 14-3. So they could jump out. Who knows?
Yeah, they could. Dan Shaughnessy is with us from the Boston Globe, 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. We're going to get to your calls coming up. I know that we've had a lot going on here yesterday, so we'll make some time for some calls with Dan today. Do want to get to some of the back and forth that we mentioned, and that is Tom Brady going back and forth with Nickel Robey Coleman. That was happening again last night, and as you said, Dan, there were guys backpedaling that do backpedaling for a living. So we'll get to those comments. And, again, your calls. We are on Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center. And this hour of Zolak and Bertrand is brought to you by Hell of a Good Football Dip. Make sure you check them out. Get the Hell of a Good Dip for, and all your dippables, though, on Sunday night's game. So loves Hell of a Good.
You like it, Hardy?
I love it, especially with eggs.
Especially with eggs, because eggs are the thing that Zoe promotes. Like Montana with avocados.
I put hot sauce
Zoe,
on
I'm
eggs.
Here to talk about eggs.
You want to
American Poultry Association or something.
I'm convinced he's got like a little side gig with, you know, America's egg producers.
Yeah, a little something in there. And Dan Shaughnessy, as I said, is with us in our Big Y world-class market guest chair. We'll get to Brady, what he said last night on the comments from Nickell Roby-Coleman, and what he had to say in his backpedaling. We'll get to that coming up next.
It's Zolak and Bertrand live on Radio Row, presented by DCU, Digital Federal Credit Union, on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, I think everybody just made a big deal out of the situation. You know, Tom Brady is a great quarterback. I wasn't trying to say nothing bad about him. I respect him as the GOAT. He is the legend, and I think words just got misconstrued and got taken out of context.
I don't know. I don't know much to add.
Nickell Roby-Coleman and Tom Brady last night. One backpedaling, one not adding much, and you don't hear it there in that Brady clip, but there's a pause, a long pause, before Brady answers that. He sort of looks, and he doesn't really know exactly what to say, and he sort of hems and haws there before saying, yeah, I don't have much.
That means that. Noted.
Yeah, I heard him.
Yeah, I heard him.
It wasn't just the quick, you know, I've got nothing to add to that.
He heard Anthony Smith a couple years ago, too. Defensive back for Pittsburgh.
Yeah. So, listen, is that going to change the way the game happens or plays out? Probably not. It's just stupid.
I mean, it could later you want to have some fun with them if you get a big lead.
Why do that? Yeah. Why open yourself up to that where they're going to look to pick on you now?
Because you know what? I mean, when you're in it and you're in your own world and that's your bubble and that's your team and you're feeling good about it. And hey, let's face it, man. I mean, this Rams team, too, they've dealt with some adversity this year. Remember when they had to spend a week in Denver and they ended up moving the families over with the wildfires?
Yes.
I talked to Rams Radio, a couple of the guys, and they're like, that was so bad. He said, but the problem was, after the rain, they said the mudslides and the fires were so bad that you couldn't even, you know, some of the time you couldn't breathe. They actually were happy to get to Denver to work out. And then to have to deal with that field in Mexico. Remember, they were going to go there. And then get it back there to the Rams to have that game against the Chiefs on the Thursday night. And they still sold that place out. So they were back and forth, too. And they also had to go into a hostile environment. You don't think that Saints environment was crazy that crowd wasn't humming. So these are two teams that feel that they, you know, things were a little jaded for them, that they found themselves and they hit some adversity and got through it. So the Rams are there and they should feel good about themselves. So I don't have a problem with the kids confident, but that's just, I think maybe McVay not putting the message out there same way he did the thing with the text with Bill. Keep everything internal. That's got to be stressed there. I know he likes to have fun. I know you want to be a player's coach when you're young, and you're in there with the guys, and you see the high-fiving and all that, and they're having fun with the chest bumps. Internalize it just a little bit more. They'll be better because of this.
Yeah, they had the whole week to get ready for that. I mean, you know, they were around their own camp all last week, and it's like, you guys are going to get to Atlanta, and people are going to be in your face, and just be careful. You know, everything stays in here, that kind of thing, which obviously...
It's a funny thing. That wasn't even Atlanta. It was like a Bleacher Report story, you know? So that thing got out there quick, you know, before they hit the ground running.
Yeah, I mean, but there's also the Max Kellerman thing, which we know has sort of aggravated them. Speaking of ESPN and Max Kellerman, actually, Kellerman's FS1, right?
Is he?
Yeah, I always get all these guys confused on the networks.
I thought he was First Take.
Today, I've been checking out the ESPN this week a little bit.
How they been? Where are they?
I haven't seen anybody here.
It's weird.
No, they're all doing their shows right back in New York, where they do the Get Up show. They're in New York for that one, not Bristol.
But this is weird. I mean, there's no ESPN presence here.
They're busy with Anthony Davis.
They are. They're spending a lot of time on that.
Very busy with Anthony Davis.
They're actually spending quite a bit of time on that right now, which I get. I understand that. Yep. It's a big story in the NBA. But I can just say that watching them talk about this Brady, you know, Roby Coleman thing, it's like they want to downplay the whole thing. Here's Dan Orlovsky, who, by the way, is doing a great job on ESPN. He's jumped into this role nicely. Here he is talking about it this morning.
So I don't really find it to be like tugging on the goat's cape. Like, this is a Rams team that's trying to knock off the giant and the immovable force, like Alshon, you guys did last year. And a big part of it is that you have to go in and think of them as your counterparts. Like, you can't go in and go, man, this is the Patriots. We've got no shot to beat them. So part of that is Nickell Roby Coleman, like, believing, listen, he is great, but he's not what he used to be. He's not the unbeatable quarterback that he used to be.
Was he ever unbeatable? Like, this I don't get. He's not the unbeatable guy he used to be. Was there ever a time where Tom Brady was unbeatable?
No, it's a bad choice of words.
It's like trying to make something up to make it sound like, what he said really didn't mean. He didn't mean that he'd gotten old and wasn't the same quarterback.
Yeah.
But he's old and he's not the same quarterback. What is this? What is this crap? I just think, I don't get it. I don't get why you'd do it. There's another one from Orlovsky. More from him this morning, ESPN.
But he's not going to take these comments and use them as motivation on 3rd and 7 in the Super Bowl. Like, early on in your career when you're younger, this stuff matters to you. As you get older and you become one of the greatest football players of all time, you don't do that by paying attention to what other people say about you. You do it because you're internally motivated. And that's why Tom Brady's great.
Did he miss last week? Did he miss Edelman screaming in Brady's face?
Yeah, that's an ill-timed comment.
I just don't.
More than ever.
And he's not alone.
This is actually the first time that the Patriots are indicating that they're listening.
They're admitting it. They're admitting for the first time ever. We listen and we use it, and we're going to continue to use
it. We know they've always done that, but now they're admitting it, like you say. And it's become part of the external motivation. We're hearing about it. And Zoe's right. When Tom was given a chance to let the guy off the hook last night, he did not do it. It's just like,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
He could have said, Tom Brady could have said last night, you know, we don't pay attention to that.
Young guy.
I didn't hear his comments, and we're just focused on what we're doing.
He knows right? They do. So it's like, yeah, it's just like proper protocol. We noted it. We wrote it down. We got it.
He didn't do any of that.
We're good.
No.
Brady did none of that.
No.
Could have downplayed it. Could have dismissed it. He did not dismiss it. Him saying the way he said last night, nah, I've got nothing more to add to that.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the acknowledgement of, yep, I hear this idiot.
Twisting
in
the wind.
And I'm gonna look for him on Sunday.
Yep.
So I just don't know why anybody would do it and why anybody would defend it.
And be in his face, like the kid from Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That was good.
617-779-0985. Mike and Rantham, go ahead. Lead us off.
Rantham.
Hey, Zoe. What's happening?
What's up? What's up, man?
I guess you guys are down in Atlanta, eh?
I think we are.
I called at the end of the season. I just wanted to ask you where you were, because I called at the end of the season when the sky was falling, and everyone said the Patriots stunk. And I told you 5 out of the 6 losses were all mental errors that they were playing. They weren't mentally into the game. And when playoff time came, a leopard never changes its spots, and they're going to be laser-focused. And if they got the bye that they were going to the Super Bowl, I don't care what was going on, they were going to make it. Well, they made it, brother. They cleaned it up.
You know, that's a good point. Mike, it's thanks. And that's a good point you bring up. Because that was the message we got, especially with Skarnecchia yesterday, Hardy, when we talked to him. We'll play that later. But, you know, going back to that Pittsburgh game, what drove you nuts the most? Is it the false start? Is it a stupid holding call? You go, there's no acceptable penalty in this league. If you're smart, if your mind's into it, and you're focused, you should never commit a penalty like that.
Yeah, he said it was.
And it's just, I don't accept it.
No, and that.
And we don't.
It was clear cut, and like you said, you'll hear it later. But
Slater, Dorsett, we got our asses going. We took it upon ourselves that this is on us, guys. We're screwing it up.
Anything mental, and it also kind of sounded like he believed that most of the penalties were mental. You know, like it's like you can't make a mistake like that. And
it wasn't talent related.
No, that was it.
And that's what drives coaches crazy.
He would get pissed off at a guy just like, you're not good enough. You're not good enough.
Right.
But if you're screwing up and you're making a bad decision, you're not concentrating.
You complicate the situation.
That's what drives him nuts, and I don't think he's alone in that. That's probably across the board.
617-779-0985. We go back to your phones with Derek, who's in Foxborough. What's up, Derek?
What's up, guys? How's Atlanta treating you?
Excellent.
All right, good. Shaughnessy, you were talking about, you know, they've never blown a team out in the Super Bowl. And you know, I think this could be the year because, you know, the Rams are down 14-0 to the Saints. They took that fake punt to kind of energize them. And, you know, if the Pats can get up early, you know, keep the, you know, foot on the gas, you know, I think Goff might kind of choke. I mean, I don't know what your thoughts are.
Well, I mean, again, there's so much momentum for the Patriots in this thing, you know, internally, externally. And it would not surprise me to see him jump on these guys. I'm having a hard time.
They're taking the ball. They went the opening coin toss. They're taking the ball. That's going to be the sign. Dude. You better start writing it now. This isn't Deferland. The double score game's gone. It's a quadruple score, Dan. They want to get it both. Then they want to get the stop before the half. Then they want to get a turnover.
Quadruple score.
Yeah. Dan's defer thing's gone. You got to work this week,
I know.
Man. They're going to conform to nothing that they've done.
Right.
Now, then they're going to come out empty, and they're going to put Burkhead in, and they're going to run it, and they're going to throw screens.
What about hurry up, no huddle? Any of that?
I don't know. I don't think they need it.
No.
What worked in Kansas City? These high-paced flying, high-scoring offenses. What do? Play keep away. Keep the ball away. You know what works? Nice 14-play drive to start the game.
Okay. Yeah.
Take about 8 minutes off that clock. You look up like, Jesus, half the first quarter's gone. It's almost a quarter of this game. We haven't even touched the ball.
Sean,
that's my Kansas City. Go ahead.
Sorry, Chris is in Franklin today. Chris.
Oh, this is all, like, Rhythm. Foxborough, Franklin. It's the Hockomock area.
What's up?
Hockomock segment.
Chris, you there? No, Chris is not there. Sorry, you got to go to Jimmy in New York now. Jimmy.
That's not
Hockomock. What's going on? So, what's up, Beetle?
Hey.
What up, G?
Love the show, guys. Listen, I have a question. Assuming the Patriots win the Super Bowl, do you think Josh Gordon deserves a ring? I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Hell yeah.
He's getting one. He's going to get one no matter what.
If you played four games, you're getting a ring.
40 catches for the team.
He was here for 11 games, people. 11 games.
They're paying for his recovery, right?
Yes, they
are.
He's getting a ring.
He's in Florida working out. They're paying for his treatment.
That story came out last night. I believe it was Doug Kyatt of Nesson who reported that. The Patriots are paying for Josh Gordon's recovery at this time, which makes me wonder if he's completely broke, if the Patriots are paying for that.
Well, I don't know. I think, you know, based on you having the rights too, and if the guy is requesting, you know, medical treatment, and I'm not sure what the laws are or how it's written in the CBA according to how he lived the game and the violation.
That
the team
might
may
be
still
procedure.
Be on the hook for it.
No, yeah, maybe it is. Maybe every team would do that.
I mean, if I got to get treatment done in the offseason, I got knee issues, they're paying for my med. You know,
that's a good point.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
I think that all falls under the same umbrella.
Maybe it does. Yeah,
that would make sense.
Never thought of it that way. He's still technically on their team.
He's yours. Yeah,
and on their roster.
Yeah. And if he needs help, why don't you get him help?
So Josh Gordon is having his treatment paid for by the Patriots. He's also, you know, the NFLPA and the NFL are working because, you know, they are helping in this regard as well somehow. I don't know exactly what their role is. So that came out last night. And, yeah, he's going to get a ring.
Yeah.
He's going to get a ring. I just think the Patriots offense has been better without him. They've been more focused without him since he's departed. 617-779-0985. Coming up next, I'm going to tell you all the details of the Super Saturday Sports Hub Party happening here in Atlanta on Saturday.
Wow.
So better get in line.
I've got details for you on that. Also, a couple of guys last night talking about the possibility of retirement. No, it's not Tom Brady. Two other Patriot players. What did they say? We'll talk about it coming up next.
Zolak and Bertrand are live on Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center. Presented by DCU Digital Federal Credit Union on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Will you retire after Sunday's game?
I don't know.
You're not thinking about that right now?
No, I'm thinking all how to get myself to go full go in the game. Just working on that.
That is Rob Gronkowski with Michael Irvin last night at opening night here in Atlanta. We're here on Radio Row with Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe with us. This hour of Zolak and Bertrand brought to you by Hell of a Good Football Dip. I want to let you know that coming up Saturday, Pats fans in Atlanta, join us Saturday, the Sports Hub Super Saturday Party at the Hudson Grill, Midtown Atlanta, 942 Peachtree Street is where you go. We're all going to be there. Hardy, Big Jim Murray will be hosting, Felger, Maz, myself, Zoe, Sosie, special guest appearances along the way. Get you ready for the game on Saturday, 2 to 6, Hudson Grill, Midtown Atlanta. There's more than one Hudson Grill down here in Atlanta. This is the Hudson Grill Midtown Atlanta location, and that is 942 Peachtree Street. Presented by Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Patriots. Sports Hub Super Saturday Party happening 2 to 6 this Saturday. I've had more people ask me about that party this year than any other year, though.
You know what it is, Beetle,
too? It's building. We've built quite the event on that Saturday.
It's a hell of an event.
You remember the two guys we ran into yesterday when we went over to grab lunch? And they were here. And they live around here. But they're, you know, New England guys, and they're big fans. They were excited to see the likes of, like, Tommy Curran.
Which blows my mind.
Not just the players, because you're going to have limited access players, but they went to, like, all the people that cover the team, right? They wanted to see Phil Perry and Beadle and Zoe. They wanted to see everybody will be at that party. This is where everybody comes
to. We sit here and we laugh. We laugh at that because we know all those guys. I'm like, why do you want to see these? You know what? Because they do the local coverage. What do you want to see some of these him-haws that do the national stuff, don't watch a football team, they criticize it and say the cliff is coming.
Right.
That's why people like seeing those people.
If your juices get flowing over Jim McBride, our party is the place to be.
Yes.
You know?
What's a him-haw?
Him-haw?
Yeah.
For the people you bring down for the globe. Those are him-haws. Okay? We can go down that road.
Like yahoos?
Bunch of yahoos.
Zoe's got his own. It's like mittens. Him-haw. These things
mean.
Mittens. Yeah, you know.
Volin's nickname is one of the all-time.
You never saw a Christmas story?
I don't know what it means.
The kid's out, and he's got the mittens on, and he can't move, and there's down his little chubby fingers, and he can't move.
He's like Randy.
Randy. And then remember when he'd wear those Birkenstocks at camp, and he had, like, no socks, and it's no ankle bone. He doesn't have ankles. I'd say, I call like I see it, man. That's all.
Him-haws and
nothing
mittens.
Him-haws.
Him-haws. Like warm drinks and trash cans.
Yes.
So you heard Gronk there last night. Also last night, in addition to Gronk saying he just doesn't know if this is going to be his last game.
He wants us to think he's retired, whether he is or not. I mean, that was it's almost sad. I have a hard time watching him answer those now.
Why? Don't you think he might just be honest?
Doesn't look like it. You know, and he was so happy, like, busting his moves and all that before going out there, and I don't know. I just had a
why couldn't it just be that he's being honest, Dan?
He knows the question's coming, and he's trying to just give you something without giving you something. I'm just trying to get ready for this game. Don't ask me a question right now.
Yep.
You know, I talked about it last year. I can't not talk about it.
Do you think it's
now.
His last game?
I think it is. I've thought that all year long.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
I feel like it is now.
Why?
Just because watching his face last night, that's how I felt.
He's trended. No, I disagree. He's trended to where it looks like he's enjoying it. A little bit. He wasn't enjoying it a couple weeks ago. I don't know.
You think that he...
And if he could get through this game, be healthy.
You think that he's going to
feel
keep
good
doing
post-game
it just because
win.
He had a good week?
No. But I'm saying, say you win, and you're a big part of this, and you come out of this game clean, and you feel good in the month. Like, physically good.
Yeah.
And you don't need to alter your training, and the team wants to work with you on a contract. We can't have you at a certain number. Come back, and you know, we'll give you a great bonus structure. Yeah, you didn't get any of these bonuses.
I don't know. So.
I'm just saying, Beetle. At some point, I know, okay, you could be an actor. You're not going to make $10 million a year being an actor. I know he wants to concentrate on that. You could do a bunch of little films here and there. You could build it up to maybe $2 million. I think some of the wrestling stuff that they talked about him potentially doing with his buddy, maybe $2.5, $3 million a cap on that. I mean, he's got money. But if you could go out there and just play football and do it the way you want, if they've given you a little leeway – where you're not as involved as much, or we're not going to break your balls as much as we did in the past, and you can see how we worked with you this year, take a little pay cut and come back. That's all. I'm saying it's all. I think there could be an openness to that. I do.
All right. I mean, if that happens.
Hey, if this guy TB's having fun, it seems like he's rejuvenated, which I think he is. And I think a lot of that drama crap is buried. You're starting fresh this offseason, and it ain't the same type of drama. God, Rob, go to Florida for a while. Have fun. Come back, train a little bit. Do a couple of passing camps. You guys are like bread. You guys are like peanut butter and jelly. You know, you and Edelman, you and Brady. Do you really need the, you know, monotonous? Get up there, do your routes, do your lines, do your seam routes, do your post corners, and run them day after day after day. We're gonna beat you into the ground with it. No, you're a gamer. Come back.
I don't know. I'm
looking for the next guy though. I know that.
All right, here's a question then.
You got a second round pick. I'll draft a tight end.
Let's ask it this way. Is he more likely to retire if they win or they lose?
More likely to retire, I think, if they lose.
Okay, Beetle, I know this is a non-answer.
Yeah.
50-50.
That's okay. So you don't think it has an impact on it?
It has zero impact.
Okay, that's fine.
He's done.
Oh, he's done no matter what?
No matter what.
Yeah. Okay. So that's how I feel.
Yes.
But I feel if they win, for him it's a lock. He's like, this is it.
Maybe
I can go out on top, and I will have had a very good career, and I'm not chasing any more rings.
Yeah. Right.
Right? Because you're going to lose two back-to-back. You're like, okay, it just doesn't feel like I'm going to get that last one, and I'm starting to break down a little bit. But
it seems like that loss and the manner in which they lost last year and how he and Brady carried the team in those final two quarters, that sucked the life out of them. That drained every single ounce of energy, it seemed, out of those two. And then they're answering, what do we do this for? What are we carrying this for?
Yeah, I was just going to
It would have to be one hell of a pep talk from Tom Brady to get him to come back after a loss. So maybe I would swing it a little bit more.
You nixed the trade because you said you want me to be your quarterback and you don't want me to go anywhere. And you don't want to be anywhere without me. I'm in. You're in, buddy. I need you.
Wow.
That's it, see?
Wow.
What a talk.
Woo.
I mean, I'm in.
That seemed like, you know, Tom's pretty convincing.
So maybe
a guy can hold a room and they talk to him like he's five.
Yeah, I'll give him. Okay, for that reason.
He's going to
tell Brady's speech.
You want ice cream or you want
I know
the
he's going to do. I know
you
he's going to
want the waffle cone, don't you?
He's going to take him to Friendly's.
Yep.
And he's going to get chicken fingers and fries.
Oh.
And then he's going to get him the sundae
with the waffle cone
on the top and the hat.
Now you're not playing fair.
And the two like M&M's or Reese's Pieces as the eyes. A little whipped cream on there. Nope. That Gronk, that's heaven for
you
Gronk.
You got it wrong. Because there's less than a quarter of a mile from Rob's house is a Dairy Queen down there in Foxborough.
Yeah.
And they got a drive-thru. Wow. Take that big Ford truck, right? What'd they call that thing? A Raptor?
Raptor.
Raptor. Okay,
Raptor.
Pick up Rob.
Yeah.
Get him down there, get the box meal. You get the little garlic bread with the chicken fingers and a hot dog and the ranch dipping sauce, or take him Chick-fil-A, man. Right? Hardy, if they took you Chick-fil-A, you'd be done. I'm in.
Oh, yeah, whatever you need.
All the Chick-fil-A sauce you need for a year.
No, that's the sauce. So do I get extra sauces to keep at home?
No, because you
my leisure.
You know how to make it at home, which scares me.
I do.
My leisure.
I figured it out. Cracked the code.
All right, there was that last night, and also I want to play this. It's Devin McCourty, and he seems to be considering retirement as well if they win. It does have an impact for him, Hardy. This he pretty much said so. Here it is.
I heard you said you may retire if you win it.
I don't know for sure, man, but I do look at it, you know, if we could win this game, win it with my brother. I don't know, you know, what else I could do that'll top that. So I'm just trying to make sure I enjoy this season and I enjoy these last couple days with these guys.
Okay, to me sounds like
wake up,
we
people.
Win, I'm done.
Yeah. You people try to phrase the Brady stuff, I need to question who are my convictions and the him on back and forth of Rob last year. You can't get any more definitive than what you just got right there. I need to win this game because I'm going to walk off with my brother.
Yeah, last Devin's couple made days a lot of these money. Guys.
Yeah. That to me is, I win, my brother and I win together. Nothing could be better than that. Nothing's going to top that. I've got, $40 million or something like that in the bank.
Yes.
And I'm at an age where I can walk away and be healthy, and I got out of the league unscathed.
Guy's been here 8-9 years. He's played it.
Played nine
straight AFC title games. Nine.
What else are you going to do?
See you later.
Walk.
Right.
I love that. I love that.
Oh.
And walk away.
I win, I'm done.
And you're still playing. You can still play, though.
But
that, to me, is the way to walk away, Zoe.
It's directly counter, and it depends on how you feel about the players, so it's a player-to-player basis. But, all these narratives are counter to what most New England fans want, is they want, these guys to stay together and to keep winning as long as they possibly can. But nobody wants to see them as a shell of themselves and going out and, getting beat in the divisional round or having to play wild card weekend or, God forbid, not even making the playoffs. Nobody wants to see these guys stay together to the point where it gets to that, and it almost certainly won't due to contracts and a variety of factors. But you understand it's like we want them to go out on top, but a lot of Patriots fans don't want them to go away either. You can't have both. it's not a question of, you know, getting rid of a guy too soon. No, if they retire and walk away on top, it's a great story. But chances are it's going to mess you up for next year.
Yeah. 617-779-0985. Coming back on the other side, you will hear our interview that we had with Patriots kicker Steven Goskowski last night, and we will get to more of your calls as well. We'll talk to Bob Papa. Zoe wanted to talk to him. He's called Super Bowls before, right, Zoe?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to talk
to him. Two big ones against you.
We're going to be talking to him coming up at 11 a.m.
Zolak and Bertrand are live on Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center. Presented by DCU, Digital Federal Credit Union, on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand from opening night in Atlanta, Super Bowl 53. Now joining us in the Big Y World Class Markets guest chair, Patriots kicker Steven Goskowski is with us. What's up?
Not much, guys. How you doing?
Number six. How's this different from the rest of them?
I don't know. It's pretty crazy to be here. It's just it's surreal. You know, you never know when you'll get back, and especially after the way the game was last year, to have another opportunity, it's unreal.
Talked to Coach. Already did our pregame interview. They're talking going back to 17 years ago to the day was when he led his first team out there in 2001. And, yeah, we talked about Brady, this and that. But he said, I've had two really good kickers over the 17 years. Of course, started with Adam, and here you are. You surprised it's been this long here from start to finish, and you're not finished, obviously.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, to think that I played in the NFL for 13 years is crazy. I didn't even think I'd play one, let alone 13. So you just count your blessings, and to be on a team like this, it's surreal and fun, and you know, just glad I still get opportunity to play.
So Adam's what, 46 now?
Yeah, we're gonna talk to him. I think what, Thursday? Yeah.
Do you want to be doing this when you're 46?
Honestly, no. But
your wife, perfectly your wife will kill you.
God bless him. The dude's a stud, but you know, yeah. He must really love it to be playing at 46.
Don't laugh. Bill did that documentary in 2009. He said, "Shoot, I'm not gonna be Marv Levy, you know, approaching my 70s, still coaching." Here he is.
Yeah, no. Well, I guess.
You talked about you two guys being different than other kickers. And I know your buddies are some other kickers in the league, but you're a hell of an athlete. You played baseball. You played soccer. You could golf. You could do everything. Tupa was the same way. Vinatieri is the same way. Do you train differently than other kickers in the way you study?
Well, I mean, I think I do kick a little bit differently than others. I would say probably I'm a little bit bigger than some other guys.
Yeah, you're more of an athlete. You know, some of these guys are just specialists.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
I've met a lot of punters and kickers. Punters are giants now, so they're all.
Allen's a big dude.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's like some that are like 6'5". I think they're a lot. They're a lot more athletic than you think. You know, a lot of the guys played quarterback in high school, just weren't big enough to play. I mean, to get to the NFL and to be at a level where you can play like that, most of the guys are pretty athletic. But I appreciate when they say stuff like that. You know, yeah. I never really wanted to kick, but it was just what I was the best at, and. Glad I kept practicing at it, and now here I am.
So for Sunday's game, what's Steven Goskowski's dream scenario for how a Super Bowl plays out from your standpoint?
I mean, I just want to win. I want to play well, and I mean, I get that question all the time about the game winner, and, you know, you can't go into the game hyping it up for something that might not happen. I mean, this is my 6-1, and there are times where I'm like, man, I need to get that kick at the end of the game, and, you know, you just don't know when it's going to happen. I think some of the best games I had, I just have gone into it just not even thinking about anything. So that's what I'm going to try to do.
The experience of just moving around the city, it's a lot more doable than last year, obviously, with the temperature. But being where you kicked, where you grew up, where your wife goes, is this a tough ticket for you guys?
Yeah, I had about like 15 people I couldn't get tickets for. And I mean, it's a good problem to have. Hopefully we can scrounge them up for them. But, you know, it's not too far from, you know, where I grew up. And we used to come to Georgia all the time for baseball and soccer tournaments and get the crap beat out of us. So
yeah, welcome to America. Yeah, we all do.
But we were just telling Kyle Van Noy, you know, Atlanta, this is a football town.
Yeah.
You feel it when you're here. You know, the people here are into football.
Oh, for sure.
You believe they're selling those things for $340 up in the concourse?
Those? Yeah. I'm selling on the way out then.
We bought a bunch of them, what's that, last year? Put them on eBay?
I'll give you $1.50.
Zip-up ones are nice.
What do you think? $1.50 for
it? Yeah, $150
for it. You can have it.
You can have it. Every Kyle said, we're going to cut this thing. We can't wait to get the blades out.
I know, right?
Yeah. People want us to bring souvenirs to the back home. All right,
enjoy the week.
Best of luck on Sunday. Enjoy the week. Steven Goskowski, Patriots kicker with us here in the Big Y World Class Markets guest chair. Opening night here at Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta. That was last night. Our thanks to Steven Goskowski for stopping by. He's going into free agency. He turned 35 years old yesterday, the day that we were talking to him. But we didn't wish him a happy birthday because he's a grown-ass man.
Yeah, we don't do that. We should have had him a card.
People were singing happy birthday. They were giving him cupcakes. No. I do think we missed an opportunity to maybe phrase a question around his birthday saying, today's 35. You know, what age do you not want to be doing this? He said he does not want to be playing when he's 46 like Adam Vinatieri, which was an interesting comment because I thought he had a number of interesting comments in there talking about, well, you know, I'm a kicker and I just kept working at being a kicker and it worked out for me. I'm like, do you really love this? You know,
I kick and kickers kick and I just keep kicking.
Yeah, but he's going to be a free agent. And I think that if he wanted to leave, if he wants to do it for a few more years, somebody would pay him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure the Patriots would pay him to a limit.
Patriots would pay him. I'm sure they would. Sure. Absolutely. I mean, why change and switch where you know what you got? And, you know, to part of that interview there, too. I mean, like, he and Adam, and I was around Adam. They're different cats, man. I mean, they're athletes. They're good at golf. They're good at soccer. They lift and run with the tight ends, the running backs.
Gaskowski loves baseball.
Some of these guys
play
are
baseball
just
in Memphis.
Like, Matt Barr would have a 5-gallon bucket, turn it upside down, sit on it, read a book, and have a chipping wedge next to him. And he and DeAussi would just chip balls in a bucket right up Hardy's alley. There was nothing else. He wouldn't work out. He wouldn't run. He wouldn't do anything.
Right, right.
Because he was a kicker. And when he was with the Giants, he had that single bar. And when he had that, you just wanted to punch him in his fat face.
Yeah.
Take your fist and shove it right in your face. Same thing with Theismann.
So
anybody that wore that single bar deserved to get their face smashed.
Steven Gostkowski has, and by the way, give me a minute. We're going to give you something. We're going to give away something. But nice. Steven Gostkowski has the highest average annual value of any kicker in the history of the NFL. Mm-hmm. And he's got the second most guaranteed money in a contract in the history of the NFL. He's been paid highly by the Patriots. He has. The question is, you know, do they want to pay him what he's making now and continue to go down that road, or do they want to, is he going to hit the market? Because if he hits the market, he'll get paid more. It might not be a huge significant difference that makes it worth it.
Right.
Right. You know, you have to weigh
then it's,
you
then it's what team you going to.
Right. How many more years do you want to play?
Stuff? Yeah.
He's not a guy who sounds like he wants to play forever though.
No. I mean, he's been doing it for you. And he looks young. So you forget how long he's been here.
Yeah.
I sat there and talked to Bill 17 years since they played the Rams last time. Bill's like, I've had two kickers. Basically, one quarterback, two kickers. It's crazy. Cool.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen in this league.
Right now, caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. Will score a $100 Visa gift card.
Oh.
Courtesy of Digital Federal Credit Union.
Nice.
Take control of your student loan payments by refinancing with DCU. Learn more at dcu.org. Again, caller 10. Contest line only, 617-931-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.